You'll see at the top there, introduction, what is my life about? That's the question we're going to ask tonight. What is my life about? Or to put it rather more accurately, what does God say my life is about? What is God's plan for my life? If you ask some people that question, what's God's plan for my life, they can give you a very positive answer. They say things like, well, God wants to bless me. God wants to give me good things. God wants to make my life go well for me. It's all very kind of upbeat. It's very positive. It's all very sort of self-fulfilling. If you ask other people that question, what's God's plan for your life? They hit a bit more of a negative note. Oh, well, living for God, it's hard, they say. It's difficult. It means saying no all the time. No to this world and no to ourselves. It's much more sort of self-denial than self-fulfillment. I wonder which you'd go for. I suspect many of us quite like the sound of the first, but rather suspect the truth is the second. Well, we're going to see tonight, what is God's plan for our life? Let me give you a reminder. This is a topical talk. We're dotting around the Bible, summing up big truths we find. So there's lots of verses there for you to look up another time. Just as we start as well, let me remind you where we've come from. We've seen that humanity, if you've got to understand humanity, God's image is a big description of humanity in the Bible. And that means what I've put in the box there, God's image, ruling his world, like him, but doing so together in relationship with each other. We saw that week one. We've then seen how we all fail to do that. We reject God's rule, and the image is broken in us, week two. But we saw last week, Jesus Christ, the perfect image of God, that for the first time, a perfect human being living under God's rule. So I've added to our definition now, God's image means being like Jesus, because that is what he is, the perfect image of God. Said a number of times, God doesn't just want one image. Do you remember back in Genesis 1? He wants Adam and Eve to multiply and fill the whole world with his image, so that across the whole of his world there are people representing him, imaging him, giving glory to him. That's the plan. And that's where we now come in. That leads us actually to God's plan for our life. God wants us to be his image. God wants us to be restored to his image. Or to put it another way, say the same thing another way, God wants us to be like Jesus, because he's the perfect image of God. But what we discover is that happens in various stages. And that's what we're going to do. 1 to 3 on the sheet, the various stages of becoming God's image. So number one, in Christ we have been made new as the image of God. And let's look at Ephesians 4 that we heard read to us. By the way, all of our points will start in Christ, because this is only true of Christians. I ought to say that. That'll become obvious. If you are someone who isn't a Christian here, then this is open to you, but you've got to come to Jesus to get what we're talking about tonight. So in Christ we have been made new as God's image. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. That is not the way you learned Christ, Paul says, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, Paul is describing there what the Ephesian Christians did when they became Christians. He says, you were taught to do this when you became Christians, and you put off your old self, verse 22, and you put on the new self. And the tense is, it is something they have done in the past when they became Christians. Now, by the old self, Paul means our sinful self. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about we were made to live under God's rule? But sin is us putting ourselves in charge. So if God is, let's say God is over here, or facing this way represents me knowing God, living in relationship with God, under God, what we've all done is turned around. So rejected God and said, I'm in charge, facing this way, this is me in charge now. I'll live as I want to live. He's described actually in this passage as hardness of heart. You see verse 18, Paul describes the non-Christian state and says it all stems, we haven't got time to go into it, but it all stems, they're darkened, alienated, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. That's the source of it. A hard heart, not the physical organ, but the control centre of our lives. And a hard heart is a heart that rejects God. A life that is orientated this way. I reject God. That's the old self, us living this way. But Paul says something massive has changed. When you became Christians, you put off the old self. You rejected living this way. And you have put on, verse 24, the new self. And the new self is created after the likeness of God. It's in God's image, this new self. And we've seen that God's image, being in God's image, means living under God's rule. So this new self is a self submitted to God. So we've put off the old self living this way, and we have turned around. And we've put on this new, we've started a new life where now God's in charge. And we live under his rule. In other words, Paul's saying you've repented. You've turned around. Old life with you in charge, new life with God in charge. However, there's more going on. There's more going on than just us repenting. Do you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? And you'll find that on page 1162. We could see this in Ephesians, actually, just as you turn there. Paul says, we put on a new self, created like God. Well, if it's created, this new person is created, it must be created by God. So God is acting here, creating a new person. But we see that very clearly in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, quoting Genesis, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, just as God spoke and brought creation into existence, God has spoken and brought new creation in our hearts. He's shone this light in our hearts so that we are enabled to see who Jesus is, God, and accept him. In other words, he has sort of remade us. We have a hard heart that faces this way. Left to ourselves, we can't turn around. But God acts in us. He gives us a new heart. A heart that turns and sees who Jesus is and accepts him. I don't know how many of us know David Monteith. Are you here tonight, David? No. Yeah. If you know David, that's no surprise. Monty, as he's universally known, I don't even remember last year, Monty turned yellow. Do you remember? You may not know that. He turned yellow. Now, if you know Monty a bit, you'll know he has a fondness for canaries. And for a while, we just wondered whether this had gone a bit too far. But actually, it turned out he was very ill. It wasn't a joke at all. He was extremely ill, and the problem was, and I'll probably get this wrong now, and by the way, any doctors here, don't come up and talk to me about this afterwards. I know this is not going to be particularly accurate. But there was a problem in his liver and gallbladder and that kind of thing, and basically the liver wasn't removing the bile from his blood. And so he was pumping this infected blood around his body, and it was making him yellow, and it was making him very ill. Now, what was to be done? I mean, you could have said, look, you're very yellow, Monty. It clashes with your yellow jacket, which you wear a lot. Let's try and lighten you up. Let's get sort of the Max Factor foundation out and try and make you look a little more normal. Well, obviously, that would be a waste of time. What he needs is, well, ideally, I suppose, he needs a new liver. That isn't actually what he got. He got an improved liver. But for the sake of this illustration, imagine he got a new liver. Let's say his old liver was so defunct the only thing that's going to help is a new liver. Well, you see, spiritually speaking, our heart is bad. In the control centre of who we are against God. We have a sort of fatal complaint. And it infects everything in our lives. And it's so bad, the only solution is if we get a new heart. We need a kind of divine spiritual transplant. We need to be made new, remade, in fact, inside, so that we accept God. And that is what God does as we become a Christian. He gives us a new heart that turns and accepts his rule. In fact, we could say he gives us a human heart, or a heart in God's image. Because we've seen that being a human means, being in his image means living under his rule. And by nature, we are saying we have a hard, inhuman heart. But in becoming a Christian, God gives us a truly human heart. Because it's a heart that acknowledges God. So here's the start of God's plan. God's plan is to make us like Jesus. It starts with this recreation, being made new inside, so we turn around and accept his rule. Now, as we see God's plan start to be worked out, let's go back to that question I asked at the start. What would we say about this? Is this self-denying, or is this self-fulfilling, God's plan for my life? Well, there's certainly self-denial, isn't there? Becoming a Christian means putting off your old self. It means saying no to living this way with me in charge. You've got to say no to that and put it off. If you're not a Christian here tonight, that is what becoming a Christian means. Saying no to me in charge. There's certainly self-denial. But at the same time, isn't there self-fulfilling? In the sense that we are becoming more what we were made to be. Because we put on this new self. We're given this human heart. We are being made inside in God's image. So we're becoming what we were made to be. Last week we had a sort of student event, an evangelistic event, rather like the week of talks. And one of our students, Lubov, gave her testimony. And in her testimony she said how, when she became a Christian, her friends and her family thought she'd gone weird. And that's a common thought, isn't it? Now, is that right? Well, in a sense, yes, it is weird to become a Christian because there's a radical change. You put off this old self, and so you look odd to the world. But actually, and perhaps more profoundly, becoming a Christian is not actually weird at all. In fact, it's profoundly normal. It's how things are meant to be. Becoming a Christian is becoming more human, because you are being recreated in God's image as we were made to be. However, that's only the start. In Christ, we have been made new as God's image in that sense, but while we've been made new, obviously, we are not his perfect image yet. Far from it. But number two, God's plan is that in Christ, we are being made new as his image. God's plan is for us as Christians to become more and more like Christ or his image. So 2 Corinthians, if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We haven't got time to go into the detail of this, but let me read verse 18. You'll get the sense of it. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Paul's describing a process here where we behold the Lord, Jesus Christ, and we come to know him better. And as we do that, the Spirit works in us to transform us into the same image, into the image of God. To change us to be more like Jesus. And it's a gradual thing. It happens from one degree to another. Go back to Monty. Monty did have an operation. He didn't get a new liver quite, but basically his liver was sorted out, and it works again. He's got a fully healthy, functioning liver. But if you went to see him the day after the operation, you would have discovered he was still yellow. Very yellow, in fact. You might have said to him, "Monty, what's happened? You had the operation. I saw they've sorted out your liver. Why so yellow?" You probably wouldn't have said that. That was probably not the most sympathetic thing to say, but you'd have known, actually, obviously, that while his liver was sorted, his blood was still full of this bile. He was still full of this infected blood. A week later, though, Monty's looking a bit better. 2 weeks later, it becomes clear he's not going to become a canary. That's all right. His new liver gradually, slowly sorts out this infected blood, and he changes back to normal. Well, again, for us, while God has given us a new heart, it doesn't mean we're automatically or immediately perfect. It's as though the infection of sin runs right through us. But now we have a new heart, we start to gradually change. Our new heart means we start to want to obey God. We start to try to obey God. We're empowered to obey God. And gradually we obey God. We change and become like Jesus or his image. Let's quickly see what this looks like. We haven't got time to go into this particularly, but what this looks like a bit in our lives. We've kept saying that being God's image means we rule the world together in relationship. And so becoming God's image, more and more God's image, means we do that, ruling the world in relationship, more and more, as we should, under God's rule. That's what being the image means. So, for instance, rule. We said when we looked at this role of ruling the world, is a huge range of things, from growing crops, to managing shares, to study and creativity. And the point is, all of that is now to be done under God's rule, as his image. So, for instance, in Colossians 3, we haven't got time to turn to it, but slaves are told to work well because they are working for Jesus. Let me quote it. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, and not for men. You are serving the Lord Christ." So work is now to be done kind of under God's rule, and for God, in service of God. There'll still be frustration. There'll still be things, there'll be plenty of things we can't change. They're sort of irredeemably sinful at the moment. But in as much as we can, as we go to our jobs and we write our essays and we're in the home or whatever it is, as we create and control and manage this world, we're to do it under God's rule, for him, being his image as we were made to be. And we could say more about that, but we haven't got time, I'm afraid. The same thing goes with relationships. Listen to some of Paul's commands in Ephesians. He says that verse we looked at, and then says, "Don't lie, tell the truth, deal with your anger, don't steal, forgive, love, be sexually pure," and he goes on and on. And they're all commands to do with how we treat each other. It's all relational. What's happening is our relationships now come under God's rule. So we live together, we rule the world together as God wants us to, treating each other as he wants us to. It's not perfect, we still do things wrong, but in these areas we're to be transformed so that we gradually become more and more like Christ or more like his image. Again, we could ask, well, there's God's plan for us today, for us to become like Jesus. Self-denying or self-fulfilling? Well, certainly self-denying, isn't it? Paul says, don't lie, don't steal, don't be impure. He says, you must say no to your sinful desires. Perhaps just very concretely, we ought to ask ourselves, how often do we say no to ourselves, to our sinful selves? Do we say no? Do you say no to yourself? Do you find yourself saying that? We should be saying no. saying no to lust, or no to gossip, or no to all those things he lists. Becoming like Jesus means denying yourself. But at the same time, isn't it self-fulfilling? Because it's self-fulfilling in the sense that becoming like Jesus is becoming more human, more what we're meant to be. So as you say no to lust, you put that off and you put on respect and right treatment of other people. You are acting more humanely, humanly. As you say no to gossip and say, no, I will be kind to somebody and speak well about them, you are becoming more human. Because we are, that is what it means to be human, to live rightly with each other under God's rule. I find it an encouraging thing, actually, that what we often call being holy, in many ways, is being human. Only truly human, as we were meant to be. God is remaking us gradually as we say no to sin and we become like Christ. Now, just before we go on to our last point, I want to mention very quickly multiplication. It's a slightly different point, and it could have come in a variety of places, but I want to mention it for completeness. We've seen God's plan is to have his image multiply. Now, that's still the plan, but what it means has changed, because we're seeing tonight that you become God's image truly as you come to Christ. So how is God's image multiplied in the world? Well, it's multiplied as we tell people about Jesus and they come to him. That is the work of multiplication primarily now. You haven't got to be sort of married and have kids to multiply God's image. You've got to tell people the gospel. I put on the sheet there verses where Jesus commissions the apostles and says, go to the ends of the earth with the message about Jesus, because I want the whole world filled with my image. That's the role of multiplication. Now, number three, let's finish by seeing God's plan completed. Thirdly, in Christ we will be future remade as God's image. And we've been thinking about this so far this evening, God's recreation and new creation. We'll always struggle with sin in this life, but when Jesus returns to this world, we will be remade and we will be made perfectly and fully like him. So let me read a couple of verses out. Philippians 3, Jesus will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Or 1 John 3, when he appears, Jesus appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Or 1 Corinthians 15, Paul describes how God will raise us from the dead with these new resurrection bodies like Jesus' resurrection body. We need to be reminded of that, I think, because we constantly get that kind of picture of heaven as us, you know, the kind of wearing 90s, floating on clouds, sort of dry ice look, and people sort of float, you know. All very immaterial, very insubstantial. That's often the view of heaven. But Jesus is raised with a concrete, material body. And we will be raised with bodies like his, concrete, material. But free from sin. That's the point. Perfect bodies, where the infection of sin is completely rubbed out. And we live under God's rule perfectly. And we will fully then be God's image. And so we will then, as we've kept saying, rule and relate perfectly. So Revelation 22, God's servants will worship him, and they will have no need of light or lamp or the sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. We saw last week Christ reigns, and we will join in his reign, and we will rule this new world as we were meant to. We'll do that together in relationship. We read in Revelation 5, we heard it earlier, God's people will be from every tribe and language and people and nation. And it's a wonderful hope, isn't it, today when we see nations fight, that God's people will be united and relate and rule this world together, not in competition, but we'll relate rightly. This will be the best community you could ever belong to. If ruling is the best job you could ever have, this is the best community. And lastly, we've said God wants many images, and that day there will be a great multitude. Revelation 7, John says, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, tribes, peoples, languages. The world is filled with God's perfect image. This is God's plan completed. This is Genesis 1 kind of consummated. To have his image bringing glory to him, filling his world. For the last time, that plan, is that self-denying or is that self-fulfilling? I hope you're getting the idea. Of course, the way I phrase the question is too vague. Maybe it helps to point that out. Self-denying, self-fulfilling, we've got to ask, what do we mean by self? Sinful self, old self, oh, it's very denying. We put it off when we become Christians. We kind of put it to death as we live day by day. And on the day Jesus comes back, it will be rubbed out completely and sin will be done away with. So sinful self, yes, we deny that. But my new self, my recreated self, the new heart and the transformation, the person God is making me, my true self, what I was made to be, that's being fulfilled. God is making us everything we were made to be because he's making us his image. He's making us like Christ. And it's a fantastic prospect. It's a fantastic plan God has got for our lives, that we will rule his world. We will live together, enjoying him, each other, and his world. That's God's plan for our life. Let's fill our minds with it and join in with it. And let's be grateful for it. A fantastic plan. Fantastic plan for our lives. Well, let me finish by praying and thanking him for it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you, when we reject you, you don't give up your plans for humanity at all, but rather, in the Lord Jesus Christ, have become one of us and fulfilled all we're meant to be. And now, in him and through him, you are remaking us. How you've changed us inside, how you're transforming us day by day, how one day you will raise us and we will be your perfect image, reflecting you, giving you glory as we should, and enjoying you and each other and your world. Please do fill our minds with these things. Please help us see this as your plan for our lives. Maybe work it out tomorrow as we write the essay and go to the office. And may we be filled with this future hope that one day your plan will be fulfilled completely and wonderfully. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.